أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Continuing with the book Jamu Ahkam al-Nisa by Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, in our series Etiquette in Islam for Women, we come to the chapter Al-Mar'atu wa Ghuslu al-Jumu'ah, a lady and the making of a ghusl on the day of Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, where he says Haddathana Abdullah ibn Maslama an Malik an Safwan ibn Salim عن عطاء بن يسار عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال غسل يوم الجمعة واجب على كل محتلم. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim, where Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله, he says it was reported to us by Abdullah ibn Maslama, who said that it was reported to us, who said on the authority of Malik, on the authority of Safwan ibn Salim, on the authority of Ata ibn Yasar, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to make a ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah is compulsory on everyone who has reached the age of puberty. To make a ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah is compulsory on everyone who has reached the age of puberty. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim. The hadith of Imam Muslim, where he says, Rahimahullah, wa haddathani Muhammad ibn Hatim, qala haddathana Bahzun, qala haddathana Wuhaybun, qala haddathana Abdullah ibn Tawus, an abihi, an Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala haq لله على كل مسلم أن يغتسل في كل سبعة أيام يغسل رأسه وجسده. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says it was reported to us by Muhammad ibn Hatim, who said that it was reported to us by Bahz, who said that it was reported to us by Wahib, who said that it was reported to us by Abdullah ibn Tawus, on the authority of his father, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah has a right on every Muslim that he take a ghusl every 7 days, cleaning his hair and his body. And the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, or the other hadith, or Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he also narrates this hadith. The next hadith is also the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, where he says حدثنا عبد الله بن يوسف قال أخبرنا مالك عن نافع عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا جاء أحدكم الجمعة فليغتسل. And this narration of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says it was reported to us by Abdullah ibn Yusuf, who said it was reported to us by Malik, on the authority of Nafi', on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one of you comes on Yawm al-Jumu'ah to the masjid for the salah and the khutbah, then I command him to make a ghusl. Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he brings these hadith and this issue of making a ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah for the women, and then he says the ulama have agreed that it is not compulsory for a lady to make a ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. The ulama agree that it is not compulsory for a lady to make a ghusl on Yawmul Jumu'ah. And they use as evidence that it's not compulsory on her to make the Salatul Jumu'ah and to attend the khutbah, and therefore the ghusl is not compulsory on her. Also, some of the ulama, they use the hadith that shows that it is better for the lady to make the salah in her house, and this is just confirming that point, that she doesn't have to take a ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. However, if she comes to the masjid, that it is recommended that she take a ghusl, because the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever comes to the masjid to make the Jumu'ah, then I command them to take a ghusl. And they said that for the women, it becomes recommended. Chapter Al-Mar'atu, Chapter حكم ذيل المرأة يصيبه الأذى. Chapter the lowest part of the lady's garment, if it was to touch something that's unclean. That's when the sisters, they wear their jilbab and it's long and it's dragging a little, and it may get something on the ground, it may get a little dirty. This chapter, the verdict concerning that. And he brings the hadith of Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, who says, حدثنا عبد الله بن مسلمة عن مالك عن محمد بن عمارة ابن عمر بن حزم عن محمد بن إبراهيم عن أمي ولد لإبراهيم بن عبد الرحمن بن عوف أنها سألت أم سلمة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت إني امرأة أطيل ذيلي وأمشي في المكان القذر فقالت أم سلمة قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يطهره ما بعده. And this is authentic. Abu Dawud rahimahullah, he says that it was reported to us by Abdullah ibn Maslama on the authority of Malik, on the authority of Muhammad ibn Ammara ibn Amr ibn Hazm, on the authority of Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, on the authority of the mother of one of the children of Ibrahim ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, that she asked Salama radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, I am a lady who has a long lower garment, meaning that it's far below her ankle, dragging on the ground. And I walk in places that have filth. Salama said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, what comes after that cleans it. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is giving the verdict that when the lady's garments are extremely long, so that she's covering her feet and her body properly, and she may walk in an area where it's dirty, that so long as she walks after that in an area that's clean and the lower garment continues to drag, then that area cleans the area that came before it. Chapter Al-Mar'atu Yusibu Thawbaha Min Labaniha. Chapter, a lady's clothing gets some breast milk on it. And this chapter, Mustafa Al-Adawi rahimahullah, he gives this verdict by saying that if a lady is breastfeeding and some of her milk gets on her clothing, then there's no problem, and it's not compulsory on her to clean her clothing, as the milk is tahir and it's not najis. And like this is the statement of Ibrahim al-Nakhai rahimahullah, from the early scholars of Islam, and I think it's from the Tabi'in or the Tabi'in. We have the narration on him collected by Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf, where he said, لا بأس بلبن المرأة أن يصيب ثوبها يعني لبنها. And Ibrahim al-Nakhai rahimahullah, he says, there's no problem if breast milk of a lady got on her clothing. Here, Mustafa al-Adawi rahimahullah, he doesn't bring a verdict from the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, as we see is his custom. And this is on some of the issues where he's making a fatwa. And that is that there's no specific text from the Quran or the Sunnah for a particular issue, and that the ulama, they look into what they understand of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to give a particular verdict to an issue. This is what Mustafa al-Aydawi rahimahullah is doing, and as he is a Salafi, hafidhahullah, that he tries not to make a verdict until he finds the verdict of the people who came before him. Until he tries to find the verdict of the people who came before him, as he brings the verdict of Ibrahim al-Nakhai rahimahullah, and this is the way of the people who are on the methodology of following the Quran and the Sunnah with understanding and the practical application of the Salaf. They're very careful in answering questions, and they try their best, if they have to go outside of that which is clear from the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, that they would try to find one of the narrations of the early scholars of Islam on a particular issue, and to use that instead of using their own opinion. Hafizahullah. The next chapter is chapter Rutubatu Farji al-Mar'a. Chapter if a lady's private part, if a lady has some wetness in her private part from some type of discharge. The ulama, they have a lot to say around this issue, trying to make a verdict. And then Mustafa al-Aydawi rahimahullah, he kind of summarizes this, and I think the summary is beneficial, and if someone wants to ask me personally about some of the details, then maybe we can cover it like that, but I'll bring this for the sake of the class, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He says that the ulama, we see that many of them, they have made the verdict that the lady should make a wudu if she finds some discharge in her private area. She should clean it and then to make a wudu. Mustafa al-Aydawi rahimahullah, he says at the end of what was said from the ulama, and this is the summary of their statement, that after looking closely to the fatwas of the ulama, that we see that it is not based upon the Book of Allah Al-Aziz, or the Sunnah Al-Mutahara Al-Sharifa Al-Sahiha, or the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that everyone, we take from what they say and we leave from what they say, except the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasahbihi Wasallam. And with that in mind, we say that if a lady has a type of discharge in her private area, then it does not break her wudu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this discharge is outside of the issue, the issues of what we're going to cover, inshallah ta'ala. This is a discharge in general, and I didn't know any other word in order to be general, but to use that word for something that comes out, maybe no one knows exactly what it is, except that there's some type of moisture in the area. They say that it's Mustafa al-Aydawi rahimahullah, and I seem to lean with his statement that there's nothing really specific and clear saying that it breaks her wudu, and that it would be safer to say that it doesn't break her wudu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If someone feels that he disagrees, or he wants to hear more of the argument because it faces his wife or his sister or something, inshallah ta'ala, we could discuss it in detail later, and Allah knows best. حكم المذي, the verdict of المذي. المذي, I don't know what it is in English, and yeah, we're going to give a definition of it, and then if someone knows a one particular word in English, then they can use it for the definition of al-madhi. He brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, who says haddathana Abu al-Walid qala haddathana Zaid an Abi Hussein an Abi Abd al-Rahman an Ali qala kuntu rajulan madda'an fa'amartu rajulan an yas'ala an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam limakan ibnatihi. فسأل فقال توضأ واغسل ذكرك. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said that it was reported to us by Abu al-Walid, who said that it was reported to us by Zaida on the authority of Abi Hussein, on the authority of Abu Abdul Rahman, on the authority of Ali radiallahu anhu, who said that I was a man who had a lot of madhi. So I asked someone to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of my place with his daughter. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was married to the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make wudu and wash your private parts. Make wudu and wash your private parts. This madhi, as Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah and the other statements of the ulama describing it, they say that it is a thin white liquid that is a little type of slimy like, but it's very thin, and it comes out when you're playing around or you're thinking about being intimate or you want to be intimate with your wife. And sometimes you don't even realize that it comes out. That's madhi. And I think we know what that is, inshallah ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he makes a statement, and I was very surprised about it. And maybe this is why, and Allah knows best, that Mustafa al-Aidawi rahimahullah, he brings this chapter, though it seems to address the men, and this class is for the etiquette of the women, and we're reading from the book of the verdicts concerning the women. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says that this is more common in women than it is in men. That this is more common in women than it is in men. So that's that little very thin type of fluid that when you get a little excited, it comes out and you may feel it and you may not feel it, but it's very thin and it's not sperm. It's very thin and light and it's not sperm. The next hadith... the next statement is the statement of Imam or the Shaykh Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah. He says, if a lady has some type of madhi come from herself, then she has to make wudu also, just as the men make wudu, and then to wash her private part, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as we mentioned in the beginning of the class, النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ, that the women are the twin sisters of the brothers. Meaning that every verdict that goes for the men goes for the women also, unless the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has specified otherwise. Every verdict in Islam goes for both the men and the women, unless Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam specified that it's other than that. Chapter Sifatu Maniyul Mar'a, chapter, the description of the man, I don't know what you call it. Maniyul Mar'a, when the man reaches the point of ejaculation, sperm comes out, and when the lady reaches her point, another fluid comes out. The description of that fluid that the lady has when she reaches her desire. And he brings the hadith of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, who says, حدثنا عباس بن الوليد قال حدثنا يزيد بن زريع قال حدثنا سعيد عن قتادة أن آنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه حدثهم أن أم سليم حدثت أنها سألت نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المرأة ترى في منامها ما يرى الرجل فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رأت ذلك المرأة فلتغتسل فقالت أم سليم واستحييت من ذلك قالت وهل يكون هذا فقال نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم فمن أين يكون الشبه إنما الرجل غليظ أبيض وماء المرأة رقيق أصفر فمن أيهما على أو سبق يكون منه الشبه. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says that it was reported to us by Abbas ibn al-Walid, who said that it was reported to us by Yazid ibn Zari'a, who said that it was reported to us by Sa'id on the authority of Qatada, that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that Sulaym reported that she asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a lady if she sees in a dream that which a man sees in a dream. And they're referring to the man when he has a wet dream and what he sees in his dream that causes him to have a wet dream, and if the lady has a similar dream. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a lady sees that which the man sees in his dream, then I command her to make a ghusl. Then I command her to make a ghusl. So Sulaym, she said that I was shy in asking that question. And she said, does a lady have that? Meaning, does it take place with her, that which takes place with a man when he has a wet dream? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes. And where do you think the likeness is from? The likeness of the child, that the child looks like the mother sometimes instead of looking like the father. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to go on and explain, as he says, indeed, the fluid that comes from a man when he reaches his point, it is very thick and white. And the fluid of the lady is thin and yellowish. And whoever comes first, then that is the one that the child will look like. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam is describing that the lady has a fluid just like the man has a fluid. And the Messenger of Allah, just like he described that the man's fluid is thick and white, that the lady's fluid is thin and yellowish. And the Prophet of Allah had given us some extra wisdom in this hadith, that when you see the child looking like the father, then you know that he was the first one to reach his point of pleasure when the act took place between him and his wife. And if the child looks like the mother, then it was the mother who came first, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam had explained. The next chapter, wujub al-ghusli ala al-mar'ati idha ihtamalat wa ra'at al-ma. Chapter, it is compulsory for a lady to make a ghusl if she has a wet dream and she sees that fluid. And he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, who says, حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ يُوسُفُ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا مَالِكَ عَنْ هِشَامِ بْنِ عُرْوَى عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ زَيْنَبْ بِنْتُ أَبِي سَلَمَى عَنْ أُمِّ سَلَمَى أُمِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنَّهَا رضي الله عنها أنها قالت جاءت سليم امرأة أبي طلحة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن الله لا يستحي من الحق هل على المرأة من غسل إذا هي احتملت فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم إذا رأت الماء. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah says that it was reported to us by Abdullah ibn Yusuf, who said that it was reported to us by Malik on the authority of Hisham ibn Urwa, on the authority of his father, on the authority of Zainab, the daughter of Abi Salama, on the authority of Salama, the mother of the believers radiallahu anha, that she said Sulaym, the wife of Abu Talha, came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulallah, indeed Allah is not shy or ashamed of the truth. And when I was reviewing this book again to decide was I going to make this a part of the class, I said, why should I leave it out if here is the lady saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not so shy of the truth? And these issues need to be discussed, as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam has given us the verdict for them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make some of our women among those mutafaqihat, among those women who gain the fiqh or the understanding of this deen, so that they can have private classes inshallah with the sisters, so that they can teach the sisters those verdicts which are particular to them. Ameen. Does a lady have to make a ghusl if she has a wet dream? And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Of yes, if she sees the fluid." Yes, if she sees the fluid. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim. And the next hadith of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he says, حدثنا عبد الملك بن شعيب بن الليث قال حدثني أبي عن جدي قال حدثني عقيل بن خالد عن ابن شهاب أنه قال أخبرني عروة بن الزبير أن عائشة رضي الله عنها زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبرته أن أم سليم أم بني أبي طلحة دخلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمعنى حديث هشام غير أن فيه قال قالت عائشة فقلت لها أف لك أترى المرأة ذلك. And this narration that Imam Muslim brings, rahimahullah, where he says it was reported to us by Abdul Malik ibn Shu'ayb ibn Layth, who said that it was reported to me by my father on the authority of my grandfather, who said that it was reported to me by Uqayl ibn Khalid on the authority of Ibn Shihab, who said that it was reported to me by Urwa ibn Zubayr, that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported to him that Sulaym, the wife of Abu Talha, came upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then mentioned the other hadith that we just covered, and it added that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said "Uffin laki," and a statement of how could you say that? Does this happen to a lady? And Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he says that the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the lady sees the fluid, is proof that the lady is proof that the lady's fluid is visible and can be seen, as the Prophet ﷺ says, if she sees it. And we also extract from this hadith, as he's saying, Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, hafazahullah, that a lady, if she sees it, if she has a dream that she is making love with someone and then the fluid comes, it is compulsory on her to make a ghusl. However, if she is having a dream and that she's being intimate with someone and she doesn't see anything, then it isn't compulsory for her to make a ghusl, as is clear from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So here Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, and bringing the other narrations, as we have mentioned before, it makes the story clearer. And this is that, and maybe some of the women are surprised. They say, no, that only happens to the men. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made it clear that it takes place with the women too. And that if it takes place, that this is the verdict of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And the next hadith, the other narration of Imam Muslim, it comes down to where it says فَقَالَتْ لَهُ وَأَعِيشَتُ عِنْدَهُ. And this is the statement of Sulaym. يا رسول الله المرأة ترى ما يرى الرجل في المنام فترى من نفسها ما يرى الرجل من نفسه. فقالت عائشة يا أم سليم فضحت النساء تربت يمينك. فقال لعائشة بل أنت فتربت يمينك. نعم فلتغتسل يا أم سليم إذا رأت ذاك. And this narration, Sulaym radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was present, O Messenger of Allah, if a lady sees what a man sees in the dream, and she sees from herself that which a man sees from himself, then after that she said, then after that Aisha said, Sulaym, you have exposed the women. Taribat yaminuki, or I don't know how you translate that. It's a statement of I don't know, you're glad that something kind of took in place, and that you were the reason that made this thing take place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, rather you are the one who have made this issue clear, and tarabat yaminuki, and may everything be okay with you because you're the one who made this issue clear. Yes, a lady must make a ghusl of Sulaim if she sees that. Mustafa al-Adwi, rahimahullah, he says, and we mentioned this point before, that it is permissible for a lady to ask the question herself. It is permissible for the lady to ask the question herself in a particular, for a particular verdict in Islam. And that is, of course, if there's no room for fitna, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love corruption. We also see, and this is what I'm adding, that Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he's adding, it is permissible for a lady to ask the question herself. This is showing what is permissible, and it would seem that the norm is that the lady would have her husband or her brother or her guardian or something to have the question asked for her, and then the news brought back to her, but that it is permissible for her if she wanted to ask, and this wouldn't be the norm, but that it would just be simply permissible, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he adds a little explanation to the statement, you have exposed the women. Said that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said that the women were very shy from describing that which have taken place with themselves, and they kept it hidden from the men. And that was the issue, that the women have a type of fluid that comes out just like the man has. And this shows that the women, they have a strong desire just like the men have. And maybe some of us, the first time that we knew of this was when we accepted Islam and we heard of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as the women are shy in letting this type of business be known. Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he summarizes the end of this chapter off with a few statements, and that is his statement that whenever this mani or this fluid comes out from either the men or the women when they reach their peak, that it is compulsory on both the men and the women to take a ghusl, whether the fluid came out when they were awake or if they were asleep. In Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he stretches it a little farther by saying that the ulama have a consensus that it is compulsory to make a ghusl when the fluid comes out, and there's no difference between it coming out from actual intercourse or from a dream or from playing with yourself or from looking or from any other reason, whether it comes out with a strong desire or without any desire, whether it comes out with pleasure or no pleasure, whether a lot comes out or a little comes out, even if it's only a few drops, whether it comes out if you're asleep or you're awake, a lady or a man, it is compulsory to make a ghusl so long as this fluid comes out. Mustafa al-Adwi, he adds that when Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah alleges that there is a consensus of the ulama, that there's a little debate about that statement, and this is in general, that when the ulama say it's a consensus, then in general there's a little debate about that consensus. And a lot of times that the ulama are just trying to show the strongness of a particular point, and that the overwhelming majority of the ulama agree to a particular issue, and not that necessarily every single scholar agrees with a particular issue when they say all of the ulama agree or a consensus on a particular issue. And Ibn Qudama, he says the same, basically the same thing, and Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar, and Imam al-Shawkani, and al-San'ani, and Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he's just bringing these different scholars to show that so long as that fluid comes out, then it's compulsory for the man and the lady to make a ghusl. Also, we can add to this point that when someone says that there is a difference of an opinion in an issue, it doesn't necessarily mean that the issue is undecided, that the issue doesn't have a truth in it. As some people try to present, they say, oh, there's a difference of opinion, meaning that everybody's right. And just like you try to say, well, there is a consensus, meaning nobody's right but the people who agree to this issue. And that both ways, that at times there's room, as everything has to be based on the evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The next chapter, and I think that we'll take that at another time. We'll skip to the chapter. وَإِذَا جَامَعَ الرَّجُلُ أَهْلَهُ ثُمَّ اغْتَسَلَ فَلَا بَأْسَ أَنْ يَسْتَدْفِئَ بِهَا حَتَّى قَبْلَ أَنْ تَغْتَسِلَ هِيَ. This is the chapter. If a man has intercourse with his wife and then he takes a ghusl, there is no problem for him to be close to his wife to get some warmth from her, though she has not taken a ghusl yet. And then he goes on to say that there is no harm in doing this, and that many of the ulama, they say that there is nothing against this. And as far as the difference of opinion, where some of the ulama say if a man, if he comes back to the bed with his wife and he's made a ghusl and she hasn't made a ghusl, they say that he has to make a wudu because he lay next to her. And Mustafa al-Adwi, he says that no, there's no wudu for him, that it's perfectly permissible for him to lay with her like that. And then he brings the narration of Sa'id ibn Musayyib, who says he can not just only lay next to her, but to do everything except have intercourse with her, and that he still doesn't have to make a wudu. And then Mustafa al-Adwi, he says that this is just going to go back to that which we have already covered, the issue, does touching a lady break your wudu? And then we have proven that it doesn't break your wudu. So long as you do whatever you like with your wife, so long as you don't have intercourse, then there's no breaking of your wudu. The next chapter he brings is Sifatu ghusl al-mar'ati min al-janaba, how a lady makes a ghusl from the state of janaba. And he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, who says حدثنا خلاد ابن يحيى قال حدثنا إبراهيم ابن نافع عن الحسن ابن مسلم عن صفية بنت شيبة عن عائشة قالت كنا إذا أصابت إحدانا جنابا أخذت بيدها ثلاثا فوق رأسها ثم تأخذ بيدها على شقها الأيمن وبيدها الأخرى على شقها الأيسر. And this is also collected by Abu Dawood. Where Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says that it was reported to us by Khalad ibn Yahya, who said that it was reported to us by Ibrahim ibn Nafi on the authority of al-Hasan ibn Muslim, on the authority of Safiya, the daughter of Shayba, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, if one of us fell into the state of janaba, then we would take our two hands, three times full of water and pour it over our head, and then we would take our hand and pour water on our right side and then on our left side. Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he adds for this hadith that though this is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she's describing the ghusl of the lady, and that there's no verdict except that it stems from Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and that when we say we follow the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, that we're saying we follow their understanding, and their practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah, and that no one prescribes or makes forbidden anything in this deen except Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this point may be a little intricate, and it's for us to pay attention to. No one prescribes or makes forbidden anything in this deen other than Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And the position of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the understanding and how you actually practice the Quran and the Sunnah, and that they're not going to prescribe or forbid anything. That is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of all the worlds, and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, that Allah has given him the permission to do so. Here, Mustafa al-Adawi rahimahullah is using this hadith as proof, as the ulama, they show that if the sahaba are saying that something has taken place and that it's going to prescribe something or to forbid something, that if that thing was done, if we can see that that companion did that thing in the presence of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and he confirmed it and allowed that thing to take place by not saying anything against it, then it shows that that thing has been prescribed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because what is from his sunnah is that which he has affirmed or confirmed. Like, we know that the lizard is not haram, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam didn't eat it, but he confirmed or he allowed it to be eaten in his presence. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wouldn't let anything take place in his presence that was haram or against Islam, except that he explained. So if he let something go, then it showed that it was okay. And we had covered that hadith where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and the other wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that they used to say, me and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to make a ghusl from one container. Both of our hands would be digging into the same container. And it shows that they were making their ghusl right with one another. And when they're explaining it, they're showing that it had taken place right with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, showing that they learned it from him alayhi wa salatu wa sallam. The next hadith is the hadith of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, where he says, حدثنا محمد بن مثنى وابن بشار قال ابن المثنى حدثنا محمد بن جعفر قال حدثنا شعبة عن إبراهيم بن المهاجر قال سمعت صفية تحدث عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن أسماء سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن غسل المحيض فقال تأخذ إحدى كن ماءها وسدرتها فتطهر فتحسن الطهور ثم تصب على رأسها فتدلقه دلكا شديدا حتى تبلغ شؤون رأسي تبلغ شؤون رأسها ثم تصب عليها الماء ثم تأخذ فرصة ممسكة فتطهر بها فقالت أسماء وكيف تطهر بها فقال سبحان الله تطهرين بها فقالت عائشة كأنها تخفي ذلك تتبعين بها أثر الدم. Imam Muslim rahimahullah says that it was reported to us by Muhammad ibn Muthanna and Ibn Bashar, who said that it was reported to us by Sharba on the authority of Ibrahim ibn Muhajir, who said that I heard Safiya report on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha that Asma asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the ghusl of a lady after her menstrual cycle. And he said that one of you women would take her water that she's going to use and her perfume, like, or whatever she's going to use to help her clean herself with the water, and to clean herself very well, and then to pour the water over her head, and then to rub it in very briskly to make sure that it touches the scalp of her head, and then to pour the water over herself, and then she takes a piece of cloth with some fragrance on it, and then she purifies herself with it. So, and how does she purify herself with that perfume cloth? And the Prophet ﷺ says, Subhanallah, purify yourself with it. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, it was as if she was hiding that. And that was to follow the area where the blood had been, and to make sure that the whole area was clean and that the whole area was perfumed. Mustafa al-Adawi rahimahullah, he had added to this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that many of the women of our time nowadays, that they don't put into practice this hadith of making sure that they clean themselves in this manner that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed, and then to use the perfumed cloth as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described, and to go in the areas where the blood was and to make sure that everything is intact as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained in this hadith. This is what we wanted to present today. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Now,
The section that you just finished.
Yes.
This is on whether a woman makes ghusl. Was that the?
No, this was the description of the ghusl of the lady.
Okay, but it didn't have anything to do with the question regarding whether or not a woman makes ghusl or not.
No. This didn't have to do anything with the chapter of does a lady make a ghusl or not. It was describing the ghusl of the lady. And then this isn't related to the issue of Jumu'ah. We're seeing how Mustafa al-Adawi rahimahullah is doing it. As we stop here, he's starting off with the chapter, the description of the ghusl of the lady. The first description was the ghusl of a lady from Janaba. If she had sexual relations with her husband, that this would be her ghusl. Then the other ghusl is the ghusl that the lady has to take if she's coming off of her menstrual cycle, and that differed in its description from the other ghusl, as we see from the details of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the point that Mustafa al-Aidawi rahimahullah, he wanted the ladies to pay attention to, that the description of the ghusl after having relations with her husband is different from her ghusl that she makes when she comes off of her menstrual cycle, and she has to pay attention to the two descriptions of these ghusls that were described by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who performed it in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the description of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself from the other hadith of Asma.
Is the same ghusl here for the Nifas also? The ghusl of all that from the
Jinnah? The brother is asking, is this the same ghusl for the ghusl of Nufasa if the lady has the post after her child? It escapes me right now. And this is one of the chapters that's going to come. And then we'll cover that there, inshallah. Yes.
We know that the sunnah of a woman purifying her vaginal area after menstruation is taking cloth, perfume cloth, and purifying herself. Kufa women, they purify themselves by using a Western style cleansing instrument, which is called a dush. A dush, which is actually an object inserted inside the vaginal area, and it purifies it. Is this permissible for Muslim women to use?
The brother's asking about this dush, and is it permissible for the women to use? I don't know anything in Islam that prevents the women from doing this. But this doesn't take place of that which was described by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Allah knows best. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If the sisters feel that this is too much, just send the statement up, and then we'll switch the topics, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.